It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. There are moments at this point in our history when it feels like the iconic image of the American flag is being used as a weapon. A new children's book gives us a new way to look at our flag and also serves to remind us that we are all one nation, indivisible. The book is Blue Sky, White Stars, and the author is Sarvinder Naberhaus, who lives in Ames. Sarvinder, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. And let's go back. I know it takes a long time to bring a children's book into reality, but when did you have the idea for this book?
I actually came up with the idea 5 years ago, and then it took a year to sell it to a publisher, and then it took 4 years after that for it to come out.
So what gave you the idea?
Well, I'm not sure, because at the time that I'm writing, or anybody's writing, the chances are it won't sell. So I don't particularly pay attention, you know, because I think, oh, this isn't going to sell probably. And so the only thing I can think of is the day before I had read a book by Karma Wilson called How to Bake an American Pie. And I think it must have stuck in my craw as I slept. And the next day, these words kind of came to me, and then they kind of came out of me.
Describe the book for us, because it's pretty spare in the words, but the concept is very powerful. So try to describe it for us.
Well, I don't write with a lot of words for some reason. I know my fellow writers are always saying, oh, I need to edit, I need to cut words. And I think, oh, I need to add words. So I know that's, you know, unusual for me, but I think it goes back to my songwriting. I started writing songs when I was 8 years old, and you tell a story in very few words when you write a song. And so I think that is what has carried over here.
All right. And as I mentioned, I mean, not a lot of words, but there's an echo of the words on each page. So the first page, blue sky, white stars, and it shows us a bluish nighttime sky over the Statue of Liberty with white stars. And then the next page says the same thing, blue sky, white stars, with an image of the flag, just the blue panel with the white stars. And throughout the book, we see this again and again, the juxtaposition of an American scene and the flag. You are not the illustrator of this book, but you conceived it clearly as a very visual book.
It is a very visual book. And when I write, I do picture things in my head. They kind of play out like scenes. And I think maybe that's why I can also use minimal words, because I know what's in the scene, and then I don't have to reuse or re-describe what's in the scene. I can just describe what isn't visually there. And that's what I try to do anyway. And I have to say, the illustrator notes that I sent along, which is kind of a big no-no when writing and sending things out.
Right. The publisher picks the illustrator. You don't get to have a relationship with that person, at least before the book comes out, right?
Right. I do not. And so I was not able to talk to Kadir. So I had, like, you know, I don't, hundreds of words that were illustration notes, but less than 60 words that were actually the text.
And Kadir Nelson is the illustrator, a Caldecott Award-winning illustrator. So it must have been very exciting to hear that he was illustrating your book.
Yes, he is a Caldecott Honor illustrator and Coretta Scott King Award winner. And yes, I was very excited when I found out it was Kadir Nelson. I had actually kind of been stalking him. Lucia had hinted at who it might be, and so I kind of Googled illustrators, and his name kept coming up. And so I'd go to his website, and I discovered he had done illustrations about baseball, spiritual ones about space, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King Jr., and I thought, my goodness, he is perfect for this book.
The book, as I mentioned at the beginning, we see the images of the flag juxtaposed against images of the United States of America. But then you go on to, with very few words, tell the history of the United States. What was the important thing to convey there?
I do. I actually was trying to include more people than were included, but I was trying to think of all the different types of people in America. The farmer, which did not make the cut, Native Americans. I had wanted Sacagawea and perhaps Lewis and Clark. So I was trying to think of the history of America and all the people that kind of built it, you know. So that was kind of what I was thinking when the history, George Washington also got cut. But I think it is enough of an order that, yes, it does tell a brief history of the United States.
Right. So we see Betsy Ross sewing the flag, and we see Abraham Lincoln, and we see images of civil rights marchers. Mm-hmm. And we see a lot of diversity in
yes.
these faces. Although, as you said, maybe not as many people as you wanted to include. You yourself are an immigrant to the United States.
I am.
From India.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see Indian faces in this book.
I know. I was sad because they don't allow me to communicate with Kadir. And at one point, I had in the images, I had said, you know, an Indian family wearing, you know, a sari or whatever in the images. But I think somewhere along the way between me, you know, and the process of getting to Kadir, it got cut. So I was a little bit disappointed in that, but maybe I'll have to write a sequel.
Right. Well, it's a very beautiful book, and it does show many, many faces of the United States of America. But tell us a little bit about your story, because clearly your experience as an immigrant is something that informs this book. When did you and your family come to the United States?
We came over in 1965. And I have a very short backstory at the end of the book, and it talks about my great-grandfather. His name is Bhutta Singh Ball, and he boarded a ship to come to America, and then he disembarked. And my dad remembers him telling him the story, and he asked his grandpa, he said, "Why did you get off the ship?" Because my dad wanted to come to America, and that was his dream. The American dream was his dream, and he worked hard. He got a scholarship in veterinary medicine, which ISU is known for, came over here. He brought us. We were poor. We didn't know the language. We didn't eat the same food. We didn't know the culture. We didn't dress the same. We didn't talk the same. It was a very, you know, culture shock is a good word. It was very kind of a shocking experience.
And you were only 4 years old.
I was only four. Mm-hmm.
And Iowa has become more diverse in recent decades, but I also grew up in Iowa at about the same time, and there wasn't a lot of diversity. So you grew up in Ames, Iowa. Were there other immigrant families in your school?
I don't recall having any other non-Caucasian kids in my entire elementary school.
Wow.
I may have missed it, but I did definitely feel very different.
How do you think that influenced you as you were growing?
Oh, I think it made it hard. I think it made it hard in a lot of ways. Just, you know, being different and, you know, perhaps not embracing my culture as much, you know, trying to fit in, wanting to be part of the American culture, learning the American culture. But it was interesting then, once I got to college, to Iowa State University, things changed a lot in, you know, 15, 20 years. And people were thought that it was very wonderful that I had a different background. And they were saying, "Oh, you're tan, you're lucky you're tan all year round." And it became a very positive thing. And it just kind of shows how America has changed its attitudes.
And as you said, I mean, your dad was living his American dream. How did seeing that, experiencing that, and talking with him about that, how did that shape your idea of the United States of America?
I think when I reflected back upon it, and I think even subconsciously, because, you know, we learn by example. And so my dad, he definitely is my example, was my example, and will continue to be. And I hope then that I am going to be an example for my children, because he wasn't afraid to pursue his dreams. And so I kind of took that and ran and pursued my dream of being an author.
When you look at the flag, how do you feel? What goes through your mind?
The flag is a beautiful symbol. It is definitely a beautiful symbol. And I spent a lot of hours staring at the American flag because I was trying to come up with words that describe the flag for this book. you know, for the revisions. Lucia Monfried had called and she wanted me to add more Americana and she wanted it to be more people-centered. And so I really began looking at the flag closely and watching the flag. And I noticed it was everywhere I went, there's flags. So I think the American people are very proud of their flag.
Well, and do you feel like you look at it differently because you had that immigrant experience as well?
I think I probably do. I see a lot of sacrifice in the flag. I feel like a lot of sacrifice has gone into the flag because, you know, and as much hardships and sacrifice that people went through, it's the same level of richness and experience and reward that we get in the end, you know, in the comparison of the sacrifice to the riches, you know. The greater the sacrifice, the greater the riches.
This book is in no way a political book. I don't think it can be interpreted as a political book. But I do think back in time to 5 years ago when you had this idea, and there was a very different feeling in the United States at that moment. People were still foolishly talking about the fact that maybe we were living in a post-racial United States, you know, that the landscape had changed so dramatically with our first African-American president. And now we have had a lot of conflict that stems from racial division, ethnic division in the United States, political divisions in the United States. And you didn't plan to release this book at this time, but how does that change the experience for you?
The experience for me, I think, is different than it would have been if it had been released 5 years ago, because a lot of people feel like it speaks for them or it speaks on their behalf. And because of that, they are embracing the book. And I really do hope it is a book of healing for the nation. I hope it is a book of unity for the nation. I'm so glad you said it's not really a political book, because it is for all Americans. One of the phrases in there is all American. And I feel like this book is for every American for the entire political spectrum, all the way from the left, all the way to the right, and anywhere in between.
The book just came out last month. It's been getting quite a bit of attention, a lot of really great reviews. Have you had an opportunity to interact with people who've read it, who've shared it with their children?
I have been getting a lot of feedback and positive response, and I've enjoyed it. I have friends and family send me pictures from all over the nation of the book displayed in bookstores. I have seen the Twitter feed light up. I have seen comments, beautifully written comments on Amazon that almost bring me to tears about this book and how it has moved them or brought them to tears.
So do you feel like it's fortunate that it landed at this moment in our political history?
I do feel like it was fortunate. I actually feel like it was supernaturally planned this way. It fell together very, very supernaturally, very easily, and the timing and everything, it just all fell together, and I believe it was for the healing and unity of our nation.
Have you had an opportunity to talk with the illustrator, Kadir Nelson, since the book came out?
I did have an opportunity. We had Kirkus Reviews called. They wanted to do an article about the book. And so I had the opportunity to finally meet Kadir on the phone and talk with him a little bit. We spent most of the time answering questions, but I did get to see a little bit of perspective and the process that he used.
Now, what do you feel you learned from that?
He also felt very similar to me about the fact that this book was for all Americans. And I really liked that we seemed to be on the same page, so to speak, with that. We were very united in our beliefs, and which, you know, since we had never talked, I wasn't sure exactly what he felt or believed or wanted for the book. But it seemed like we were united in that front, and I really, really liked that.
Now, as you mentioned, you are living your dream by publishing children's books. This is not your first career. For most people, it's not a first career, and it's not necessarily a pathway to riches, but this is not your first book, but it's been getting so much attention. So personally, how are you feeling about this moment in time?
I actually am a little bit conflicted with my emotions. I'm soaring high with all the attention and all the enjoyment that people are getting from the book, the meaning that they're getting, that it moves them, that they feel like it's worth their time. That all is very rewarding to me because that is what I want people to experience and feel. And the other part of me is a little bit sad because my dad, who is 90 years old, hasn't been feeling very well, and he's been in the hospital and he's been sick. So at the same time, I'm celebrating America, and I'm mourning a little bit with my dad just because he's so old.
Yeah, but it must feel like a dream come true.
It definitely feels like a dream come true.
What is your next project?
My next project is actually the thing that I feel is my best writing, and it's also my favorite thing that I've written, and it's called Lines. And it is a board book for the young readers.
All right, and tell me what it's about.
Lines builds on itself. It starts out with a simple line, and I feel like it's simple, but it's also very complex, very much like Blue Sky, White Stars. It's similar in that way. And it starts out with a line, but, you know, a line, the definition of a line is that it goes on forever in both directions. So right there, you might think that a line is very simple, but when you think about it going on forever in opposite directions, to me, that is very profound.
And where does that line take us?
The line takes us out into the universe and into space.
So quite the journey in a board book. That comes out in August, right?
Yes.
And I hope so many people get an opportunity to read Blue Sky, White Stars. And do you think this will change your 4th of July celebration this year?
I think it already has, absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yep, thank you.
The book is Blue Sky, White Stars by Surinder Neighborhouse, illustrated by Kadir Nelson. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.